Is AT&T in cahoots with the government on private consumer phone data? You might be excused for answering yes to that after the reports that AT&T is being paid more than $10 million a year to assist the CIA by searching its databases and providing records of calls that may be helpful in identifying terrorism suspects. This cooperation with the CIA is entirely voluntary. According to the reports, AT&T is not acquiescing under subpoenas or court orders in any way. If you go to AT&T's website, they'll click on their privacy policy. It reads, "We will not sell your personal information to anyone for any purpose, period." Okay, so $10 million a year from the CIA, and "we will not sell your personal information, period." There's a discrepancy there. So I called up AT&T customer support. I am a customer. Are you guys selling my data? And can I get a piece of it if you are?
Sir, we're not selling your data.
Yes, you are.
Sir, I have no comment. I cannot give you any information about that because I have not heard of such information. Now, if you have further questions about it, then we would refer you to the government agencies that are doing that, if they're doing that.
The CIA, according to government officials, is paying AT&T more than $10 million a year. Any way I can get a piece of that?
No, sir. No, there's no such program in place that we are aware of, and there's no way for you to make any money off of it.
Well, I don't want to make any money. I just would love to get my bill reduced a little.
Well, then let's see if there's a plan for you that would work better.
Did you get a plan with the CIA to arrange this $10 million a year thing?
Sir, that's not even a fair question. We don't have any knowledge of such a thing.
All right. Well, you know what? Why don't I just check with you maybe a little bit later? You've been very helpful.
All right. Well, I do apologize. I wish I could be more of assistance.
No.
All right. Well, you have a good day, sir.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Looks like AT&T is not necessarily going to be terribly responsive here. I don't blame them for that. But joining us now to weigh in is Susan Crawford, a professor at Cardozo Law School and author of Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry, a Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. Welcome, Susan.
Great to be here.
So is it a fair question or an unfair question for me to try as a consumer to get a piece of that $10 million a year?
Well, let's just expand the question. AT&T says that over 2007-2011, it was actually paid $24 million by the federal government, and then add up all the other telcos you're paying bills to, and then add up the 51 federal agencies that are charging for all kinds of access to consumer records. This is a big issue. I don't think consumers are going to be paid back. I think taxpayers should be worried about how much is going to all this waste.
There's two issues here. One is the government paying for things that seem to violate privacy. That's one sort of legal construct. The other legal construct is maybe it's commercial. I mean, this data has huge value. If the government's willing to pay that much, how much would other companies, marketing firms, that sort of thing, be willing to pay for it? And what's the legal recourse there? You want to take either one of those?
You know, this is difficult because it's clear that the ability to track a consumer has enormous value for private companies and for the government. And it's unclear that consumers have any way of capturing that value for themselves. It's really a one-way transaction at this point.
What do you think the deal would have been if AT&T executives were in a room with the CIA? All right, for $5 million, we'll give you the Eastern Seaboard. We'll throw in Florida for another $6 million. I mean, I just don't understand how a deal like this is even structured. Is there any sort of legal template here that you understand?
Well, actually, AT&T furnished a schedule of the charges that it incurs for these kinds of wiretaps and other tracking mechanisms. They say they're not even recovering their costs, that it's much more expensive than the $10 million that they charged the FBI to hand over this information. But the larger question is, the whole point is that the CIA is not supposed to be doing domestic surveillance, and AT&T is not supposed to be handing over information unless they have the right legal process in their hands. And we're not clear about either of that.
Is there any precedent in U.S. history of telecom companies, telephone companies, communications companies being in cahoots in an explicit sort of business way with the government on national security matters that precedes the cell phone era?
Ever since the Civil War, the telecommunication companies have been cooperating, not so much making it a profit center. That's new. And the telephone companies' charges here are wildly different. Verizon charges different amounts than AT&T. Sprint, T-Mobile, they're all doing different things. But the cahoot stuff has been going on for a very long time.
Does the government have the right to compel a company to hand over information, whether they pay for it or not?
Well, the statute says the company's not supposed to hand it over unless they get legal process that suffices. But we know that the AT&T has a history of being very casual about how much process it requires. In 2010, AT&T employees actually moved into FBI offices. Oh. And the FBI guys were just giving post-it notes to AT&T and asking for data about customers. They evaded the process almost absolutely. They were just looking over the shoulders of the AT&T employers who were looking into their databases about American subscribers. That abuse was just a couple of years ago, and we don't know if they've cleaned up their act after that.
As a law school professor, do you view this payment by the government to AT&T as essentially a license to get around having to actually get a subpoena to get it for free?
They could all be in cahoots. Everybody does better if they cooperate. AT&T makes some money. The government gets the data that it needs. Everybody feels as if they're helping the country. The problem is there's no accountability. These kinds of abuses led to the Church Committee examinations in the 70s, where we tried to rein in domestic surveillance. We seem to be recapitulating exactly what happened then.
Although the technology today makes it seem as though this is not a cat that can be put back, a horse that can be put back in the barn, whatever you want to say. This doesn't go back in the box.
It looks as if they're going to be vacuuming up data without constraint. The question is whether there's any oversight as to who has access to that data, how it gets used, where it flows. And the charging question is troubling. If companies are actually using this as a profit center, that seems to undermine the entire notion of protecting Americans' privacy.
Until judges are turned into apps that can actually evaluate data on a real-time, moment-to-moment basis. It seems like there's no way to keep up with this in the traditional sort of get a subpoena process.
I'm optimistic that a truly accountable technical system could be set up that would allow us to watch where data is going and be much more efficient about stopping data flows that are inappropriate and abusive. That does seem to be our only hope at this point.
And they probably could work on something like that up at MIT or Harvard in addition to dealing with the law. Susan Crawford is co-director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, professor of law at Cardozo Law School, and author of Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. Susan, thanks so much.
Great to be here.
By the way, we asked AT&T spokesman Mark Siegel about this. He said, in all cases, whenever any governmental entity anywhere seeks information from us, we ensure that the request and our response are completely lawful and proper. We ensure that we maintain customer information in compliance with the laws of the United States and other countries where information may be maintained. Like all telecom providers, we routinely charge governments for producing the information provided. We do not comment on questions concerning national security. Mark Siegel decided he didn't want to go on the air.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.